This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, as we approach the weekend, we will have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane Duker on the panel. Former State Senator Jeff Smith and Gene Evans will be on my side. We'll have all the fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour with Paul Hall at 4:33 on entertainment. Cusimano's going to be here. I think Brad Young's going to swing by for a visit in the 5 o'clock hour. So we will take you into the weekend in fine fashion. You know, it's another football weekend, and the Mizzou Tigers play, and they had a 2 p.m. start time, so they changed that this afternoon to a noon start time, Sue.
Why
I'm
did
trying
they
to figure
it?
This out.
Is it about TV? I'm sure.
No, it's not, actually. It's not
what?
About TV. It is about the heat and humidity. Let me read you what they said. So
it's supposed to peak at 3 and 4 in the afternoon.
Okay, that's fine, but then so it says Saturday's football game versus Louisiana has been moved to a noon kickoff time due to extreme heat in the forecast. Digital tickets will adjust automatically. First of all, this screws everyone who had plans and tailgating and stuff like that. But let's say you're going for cooler temps. At noon, more of the stadium will be under sunshine, in theory. You know what I mean? It's you get closer in the afternoon to 4 in sunset, you'll have the sun behind the seats in the press box that are all on the west side of the stadium. Does that make sense?
It does. But I think the meteorologists say that the hottest part happens 2 to 4.
And that would, in theory, be after the game.
And
well,
that
although
would,
that's the second
be,
half
yeah.
of the game. See, that's the thing.
You don't know how long it'll go.
It's a four-hour game, usually. So let's say they start at 2, and the hottest spot is between 2 and 4. Well, all you've done is change the second half to the hottest time,
yeah,
not the first half. So I don't think it makes any sense. All right. Today is my wife's birthday. 9/11, uh-huh. Unfortunately. Now, I'm going to send something to you, Sue, right here. And I want you to read it, because I think if I read it, I'll probably cry. But this was something that my daughter wanted me, so tell me when you get the text
I'm
message.
I'm ready.
As I sent the picture, it might take a second.
Oh.
My daughter had me go on Amazon. She was very excited to get this lotion. And, you know, she came 2 days ago and said, hey, is the package arrived? I said, yes, it's arrived. You got to look for it on the. I think I was texting her yesterday, and she found it. The package arrived. So you see the note that she left her.
That is so sweet.
I thought it was amazing. I cried when I read it this morning. So you want to read what it says?
And it's a candle, right? What is that?
I don't really know. It
I
must
think
be a
it
candle.
Is.
Yeah, because it says,
it's on fire.
It says, Mom's Last Nerve.
Yes.
I didn't pay much attention. She sends me the link. This kid's a shopper, okay? She
mm-hmm.
sends me the link, and it's not that much. So I'm like,
right.
Okay. I press go on it, and I tell Becky, I'm like, don't look at the Amazon account. But yes, I think you're right. I think it's a candle
that says, Mom's Last Nerve, and then in little writing at the bottom, oh, look, it's on fire. That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
All right, here's the note. No matter how old I get, I'll always need you. For all the times I forgot to say thank you, for all the special little things you do, and for all the world's left turn.
The words left unspoken.
Oh, sorry, the words left unspoken.
The writing's
she
a
writes
little,
like her dad.
Well, a little. She's in fifth grade.
Okay. all the words left unspoken. Always remember, Mom, I love you. That is so sweet.
Wasn't it great?
I yes. thought
that was. I'm so you proud of know her my for doing that.
My immediate thoughts are AI. That's how sweet that was. I'm like, oh my gosh. An 11-year-old doesn't come up with that, but that is so genuine and so sweet.
It's better when you actually see it written out because it is haphazard, if you will, because she's in fifth grade, but I thought that was amazing. Now, my mother, Judy Reardon, who listens from Chicago, she sends me a text today and she says, I hope you're doing something special for your wife on her birthday. If not today, take her out for a special dinner this weekend. And what I said was, I'm not doing something special. You know who's doing something special for my wife tonight? The NFL, because the Packers play. Oh, yeah. And this is what makes my wife so awesome, because I said to her, and I kind of, when I phrased the question two nights ago, I think she got angry at me. I said, I was specifically talking about food, right? I said, well, what do you want to do for your birthday? And what I meant was, what do you want to do for your birthday dinner? Because I knew that we weren't going to go out, because her response was very, very aggressively, what do you mean? We're watching the Packers play. So, you know, this is sports is one thing that brought Becky and I together many, many years ago, more than two decades ago. In Milwaukee, and you know, I've said this before, we really do kind of plan our weekends around football and the NFL, and I nickname her Pete Rose because she has a bit of a gambling problem when it comes to football. Whoa. And she never really tells me, I'm kidding a little bit, but she won a couple of days ago, and then she tells me after she won. She didn't tell me when she places the bet, when she loses. That's what you do. As someone who used to play the horses quite a bit, you never talk about the races that you don't hit. You always talk about the ones that you hit, even if you, you know, didn't cash a ticket on all the other ones. That's just something than you do.
Anytime that you have a moment like that, right, where it's just like, you just like, man, yeah, I picked the right one. I got the right one.
It's a good feeling.
Super quick story about this. Hannah and I were dating, and it was probably a year before we got engaged, and I call her during week one, huge Vikings fan. She's a huge Vikings fan. I call her, and she answers quickly and says, I'll call you back at halftime, and ends it. And there was a moment of, yeah, I picked the right one.
No kidding.
I know. She's the one.
Look, everyone's got their things, and I get that there are plenty of couples that, you know, somebody's going to be watching TV upstairs and maybe someone else watching something downstairs. And we do that, too. You know, we don't have the same entertainment on all the time. But, I mean, football really does bring us together.
It's a uniter.
I started going to, I'd never been to a Packers game until I worked up there in 1997 at WTMJ. And it was funny, the guy who hired me, he was a guy named Steve Wexler. He was a great mentor of mine, and he brings me in from St. Louis, and he has big plans for me. He even called it the Mark Reardon plan. I never knew what that plan was, because 3 months after he hired me, he got shipped out and transferred to a station in Arizona. I'm like,
that's how it goes.
What happened to the Mark Reardon? Because part of the Mark Reardon plan was to go to Lambeau Field that fall. I'm like, hey, wait a second. So this is a true story. So Steve leaves. I'm new. I don't have the oomph with the sales staff to get tickets, right? So you'll like this, Ethan. I called Steve Moore, who is our boss right now. Steve was my boss at KSD, which was KSDAM at the time. We carried the Rams games. Some of the worst radio I've ever heard in my life was the Rich Brooks show, when Rich Brooks was the coach of the Rams. This is when they first came.
No.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. So I called Steve up, and I said, dude, I got to get to a Packers game, right? And I might have lost my – you know, I was new at the time. Yeah. I went to plenty of games once I established myself. But he says, well, you can hold a – parabolic microphone on the sideline if you want to. I said, I'm in. So you know what I'm talking about. The parabolic mic is
hilarious.
It's like that cone-shaped microphone.
Yes.
And they still use them, even with all the technology out there, because it gets you the audio that's coming from the field, the hits and all that stuff. So I stood on Lambeau Field and held a parabolic for a game, and I had never been. Look, I spent, I don't know, 11, 12 years on the press table at the University of Missouri during Coach Stewart's era, it was legendary. I had so much fun. I was right on the court, right? I had never been on the field for a football game. And when you're that close to the action, you think that they're moving fast and they're hitting hard on television. When you see these guys in person, the speed at which they move and the violence and the hits,
nuts.
It's really, it puts you in another, you know, league thinking about the game. Now, of course, I'm kind of on high alert, because I think at the time maybe I wanted to get run over by a player so maybe I could sue the NFL. But I saw somebody this past weekend get bowled over. I mean, they could have gotten hurt pretty badly.
Happens
every
all
week.
The time. Right.
I did a story in the dome for Channel 4 about how loud it got down there. You know, we had one of those things and had an ear doctor on to say how loud it was and blah, blah, blah. And then I did a live shot and tossed to Steve Savard. I mean, that's how long ago this was.
Right.
And it was super loud. So outdoor stadiums, at least it's okay. But boy, indoor, it's just nuts.
You know, unfortunately, I came and I did my show from St. Louis, from KMOX, when the Packers played the Rams in the playoffs. This would have probably been, I don't think it was the Super Bowl winning year, but one of those years. And that place was, I mean, as much as I hate the Dome to this day, because I think it's just run down and ugly and gross. And
yeah. Blah,
but that place was rocking.
Yeah,
back
it
in the
was.
Day.
It really was.
All right, we got Sue's News on a Thursday coming up here. At 4:30, Phil Holloway from Fox News will continue to cover the Charlie Kirk assassination. We do, let me just kind of, hang on, let me go to this. This was moments ago, President Trump. Let's see if we can catch this.
Go ahead, do it again.
Okay, how do you think Israel's attack in Doha will affect the hostage deal?
All right, he's going to get into some other categories here, but it looks like he is, well, Brian Kilmeade said that he's on set with them tomorrow in New York. So he's just taking a couple of questions. What I was going to say is they had a briefing that was scheduled down in, where this took place. And now I'm completely blanking on where he was. He was in Utah. So they had a news conference that was planned, and then they delayed it, right? Because it looked like Kash Patel and other officials were flying to Utah to maybe make a joint announcement this afternoon. I'm not saying they have the shooter, but it sure looks like they're close.
It does.
Or they might have him, and we'll keep you posted on that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, I played some really, really, I thought, unique audio from my friend John Ziegler and his daughter, Grace, 13 years old, opening up a package from Charlie Kirk. And John's going to share that story and reflect on the last 30, 36 hours or so coming up after 4. TJ Moe, who is always on fire with his opinions, former Mizzou and NFL player. He contributes to Fearless with Jason Whitlock on Blaze TV. He has some things to say about what's happened in the last day and a half. He joins us at 5:30 plus an audio cut of the day. That's all coming up here this afternoon. We got to do this, though, before any of that.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
We had to skip you yesterday, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was a weird day, unfortunately. I thought we should talk about the anniversary of 9/11, 24 years ago today. In 2001, at 8:46 a.m. and at 9:03 a.m., two hijacked planes were crashed into the World Trade Center. Mark, I know we all remember where we were. I can't remember your story.
Yeah, well, I mentioned earlier, so I was actually watching. I was in Bayside, Wisconsin at my house that I lived at with my two kids. They were not at daycare. I can't remember
why they weren't.
I did evening radio at the time, and we were watching Blue's Clues. And my sister calls me and says, "Did you see what happened?" I said, "No." She said, turn on the Today Show. And then moments after that is when the second plane went in. So, and then I went right into work and took the kids into daycare. And then they sent me home and they said, no, we need you for tonight. So I ended up being on, I don't even know what it was, 6 to midnight, 6 to 1 or 2 in the morning, covering all that. You know, the Cardinals were in Milwaukee on 9/11 and they canceled the game that night. I had some friends in town who we were all supposed to go to the game. So, yeah, I remember it well. Unfortunately, I mentioned with Brian, too, that 9/11 Museum is really something. And have you been there since?
No, and I need to go.
You have to. You have to put it on your list, and it makes an impression. I was able to take my son, Aiden, who was born in 2000, to that museum right before he went off to Mizzou to college. So I would highly recommend it. I think they did a really good job.
Likewise.
Yeah, I need to see it.
The other thing I would say is if you have not seen American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden, on HBO, it's incredible, and it would be must-see TV. You will not be able to turn it off. You know that, Ethan. You watched it. It's 3 parts. Unbelievable. It will make you proud, even with Barack Obama making his decisions. It'll make you proud to be an American. It's really good.
So well done. So much information. It's very well done. Highly recommend.
When I get a TV set up, I'll start in. Okay.
That's what happens when you move, right?
That is
slow
what happens.
Transition.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. The two other suicide flights, by the way, crashed at the Pentagon in the woods of Pennsylvania. I do want to mention this just because I feel like we should every year. A total of 2,792 people died in the World Trade Center.
Staggering.
It's staggering.
That whole week, there was just a cloud over the whole country.
Yes.
And there's a couple things that I remember because there was a charity event that I was to take part in that Friday. And we had a debate. You know, it was a beer drinking deal, and I can't remember exactly all the specifics, but we're like, should we have this? Should we not? We decided to do it because we felt at that point people needed the release. But what I remember is driving through the suburbs of Milwaukee to get to this event, and it was the night of the candlelight vigil. And it was just so awesome to see everyone. You know, you talk about our country coming together. Our country came together. I don't know if it'll ever come together again, but it did. In those
moments. Surely did. 184 innocent people died in the Pentagon attack and 40 on the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. That was 24 years ago today. Now, 38 years ago today, I don't think I remembered this. Mark, see if you do. In 1987, while a tennis tournament ran overtime, Dan Rather stormed off the set of the CBS Evening News. The tennis coverage ended, and Rather was nowhere to be found. Crickets. So the network actually went black for 6 minutes.
No, I do not remember this.
I don't remember that at all. It's because it's the 80s, and we weren't watching the nightly news, but oh my gosh.
Well, I think a lot of people were, but I was in, you know, post-college. What year? 86
87.
Or 87? Well, it was my first year in, you know, full-time in radio, but I don't know. I don't remember that one.
No,
I remember What's the Frequency, Kenneth, and that whole thing.
I don't remember it either.
I don't know why. Well,
Ethan, 30 years before you were born.
All right. Okay.
But, I mean, for a network, let's face it.
Okay.
That's pretty significant.
It is, and they couldn't run something? Run a package. Why go black for 6 minutes?
That's crazy.
What are you doing?
I mean, it's. Let me just tell you, someone, you know this, being in radio, 3 seconds of dead air is a lot.
Yes.
6 minutes?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, that's just insane to me. I can't believe they couldn't come up with something else. Okay. Just a tidbit here. The Eagles are extending their residency at the Sphere through January. Did you see them there? Or the Eagles aren't your
you
thing?
You too, right?
No, the Eagles are totally my thing, but I did not. I've seen, you know, 2 shows at Sphere. I have not seen them. I would like to have some friends that are going out this weekend to see it. I've heard it's an excellent show. By the way, do you know what they're doing right now at Sphere on the nights where they don't have the Eagles?
No.
I meant to talk about this, and it's kind of, they're making $2 million
Wizard
a day
of
showing The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
They have a 70-minute version of the Wizard of Oz, and you feel, like when you're in the Sphere, they have, you know, things.
That's 5G,
you'll feel the wind, you'll feel the mist and stuff like that.
That's genius.
Yeah. I saw a video.
It ain't cheap, I'll tell you that much.
I saw a video of leaves blowing around inside the Sphere during the tornado like you're inside the tornado.
Okay, that's really cool. Yeah. I hope Abby, a former producer, Abby, heard that. She would love that. All right, the Emmys go down Sunday night. Don't really care, but this blew my mind. Okay. Of all the nominated series in all categories, Americans watched one way more than the others, and you're not going to believe what it was. Okay, Ethan, thoughts? Because Mark Reardon actually watches this show.
Oh, that's pretty funny. So you're talking about one specific show.
One specific show way more than any others. And I thought this thing was dead, but it isn't.
It's something that's nominated right now?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I can't
It's up
what
for
it was.
Outstanding Reality Competition Series.
Survivor.
It's Survivor.
Oh, man, I never would have guessed.
I know you do. And I've said, what?
So we watch, we're doing it right now. We're on like season 30 of Survivor because we go back and we're watching old, I've seen them all. But it's one of those things, you know, I'll be honest with you. Last night, things sort of hit me after the show. And I was doing the show. I didn't get very emotional. And I'm covering it. And I just kind of got really, really sad last night.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of turning on, they have a modern reboot of Match Game that is hosted by Martin Short.
Do they have the tiny mics?
It's the worst. It's awful. But then, you know, Becky got home. She got home a little late. And we turned Survivor on because we just kind of watch it in the background. And the new season's coming up in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's always up there for best reality show. It is a well-done reality show.
I will say, I just had no idea people still watched it. I went to the first season at Ann Steffen's apartment when they revealed who did it. Anyway, it racked up 462.4 million total viewing hours. The second most watched show didn't get half that.
That's
and it
incredible.
Was White Lotus.
Wow.
Maybe you're right, though, Mark. Maybe it's a background show.
Well, it's also a family thing. I mean, we can watch it with Alexa, and she likes watching it.
That's a good
there
point.
Aren't a lot of shows like that.
Yeah, White Lotus is not one.
No, we're not watching that one with the kids. Right.
And number three, Outstanding Comedy Series nominee Abbott Elementary is third. I have seen that show.
I've never seen that one.
But My Precious Only Murders in the Building is fourth, 159.1 million.
That's pretty good.
Severance rounds out the top five, 157.5 million hours. All right, the Girl Scouts have revealed a new cookie for next year.
Hey-o.
They're called Explore-mores.
Okay.
They are Rocky Road inspired. They're chocolate cookies, which have a creamy filling with notes of chocolate, marshmallow, and toasted almond flavor cream. The organization say they reflect the spirit of exploration at the heart of every Girl Scout. Explore Mores will be available when Girl Scout Cookie begins in January. That doesn't sound half bad.
It sounds a little like the s'mores that they have, though, too.
Oh, I didn't realize that already. Yeah. Well, why are we doing this?
I will stick with my tagalongs and
tagalongs? No. What's the coconut one I like, Mark? What are those things?
Those are so
Samoas?
Good.
Samoas.
Samoas ones are really good. Listen, there's about four or five that just never, that never miss.
The Samoas are the best, though. They really are. Are the tagalongs the peanut butter ones?
Chocolate peanut butter.
Yeah, okay.
The dozy does are the peanut butter sandwich ones.
What are just the, like, the, you know, wafer
thin mint
butter,
no
like the butter cookie
type. The chess one
they're in a blue package.
I like the lemon ones are
those.
Really good too,
huh?
They just don't miss.
They used to do this thing, and I don't know if they still do it. It was for Girl Scouts, called Desserts First, and it was a fundraiser, and you'd have to create out of Girl Scout cookies, you'd have to create desserts, and it was pretty cool. Sorry, you got to do the random fact.
Fast. Huey Lewis got a perfect score on the math portion of the SATs.
Look at that. There you go. Exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sue, I did put that lovely note written by my daughter It wasn't exactly scribble, but she's just in fifth grade, so you have to, you know, forgive the spelling
errors.
It's
really sweet.
It is sweet. For mom's birthday, Rebecca Reardon. I won't say the age, of course, but she was born at 9/11. You know, that was one for a while we didn't really celebrate on 9/11, if you know what I mean.
Gosh.
We have John Ziegler coming up after the top of the hour. TJ Moe will talk politics and probably a little football, since he used to play football for Mizzou. Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst in Atlanta, is with us this afternoon. Phil, how are you? I mean, it's been a crazy day and a half, hasn't it?
Man, it really has. Great to be with you, although I'm sorry to have to be on your show with all the just terrible, awful things that are happening in the news today, but always a pleasure.
What do you think? You know, at this point, I was explaining to the audience that earlier this afternoon, I think it was around 1 o'clock, it appeared as if they were going to do some sort of briefing from Utah, and then they put a halt on that, and it looked like Cash Patel and others were flying out there. Do you think they have this shooter at this point? They got to be close, right?
My sense is that I don't think they may have him in custody. I think they have identified the shooter. I believe that if he were in custody, and I do believe it's a he, if he were in custody or otherwise neutralized, that would have leaked out. Now, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could very well be wrong about this, but my sense is they have made major progress. I think, though, that this might even be wrapped up before this calendar day is out. I have some sources that are in the general area out there, and I think it's very, very close to a conclusion. I certainly hope so.
So we know that they found a weapon, a .30-06. They found some, you know, shells that had apparently, you know, I guess CNN refers to them as cultural issues, but things related to trans ideology on them. I mean, he was literally shot in the middle of a question about trans shooters. I don't know if that was just coincidental or if the shooter somehow could hear the audio, because they were probably a couple hundred yards away is what we're hearing on that rooftop. And then there was video that was emerging, as you know, Phil, yesterday, of some movement on that rooftop. But whoever did this probably had to rehearse it a little bit, wouldn't you think?
I would think so, at least in the sense of knowing what the venue was, knowing the layout. You know, it was no secret where he was going to be. And, of course, they set up for these things. You know, sometimes they start setting up days in advance. So it would not be all that difficult for someone who had the mind to do it to pre-position a rifle so that they wouldn't be seen walking in with one. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is some kind of professional hit, but I am saying that this is not someone who's completely unintelligent and at least, you know, knows right from wrong. They knew that they had to sneak their materials and firearms in there, and they knew that they had to try to escape. So they knew that what they were doing was wrong, and they had to be sneaky about it. I do think it was a rifle shot. I recognized it almost immediately
right away,
a rifle shot. And look, you know, I think it's probably going to wind up being a little less than 200 yards, but we'll have to wait and see. But nevertheless, if the gun that's being shown and reported to be the .30-06 rifle with a scope, that if that is in fact the murder weapon, you know, that's not something that it takes a whole hell of a lot of skill necessary. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing that hunters where I grew up, you know, can make that shot.
Yeah, it's
easy,
not.
Any practice.
Yeah. What I would say is, it's not an easy shot, but it's not a hard shot. If you have a bipod, and you know, it's one thing if you're in a tree stand, in you know, I'm not the greatest marksman, but I have hit deer at 200 yards. But if you're sitting there and you have a bipod, and you know, you have a clear shot at someone, that's not, it's not that difficult, because the scope is so powerful.
I think that it was one shot, and it was from someone who was familiar with firearms, but not necessarily an expert sniper, but just enough to get the job done.
What would you say about the reaction? I mean, there's two different sets of reaction. There's the mourning for Charlie from a lot of people who knew him. I did not have a relationship with him. I did not know him. A lot of friends of mine, Eric Schmidt, our senator from Missouri, knew him very well. He was taking it very hard. So you're getting reaction from three different places, I think, from people who knew him, the conservative community, also from the lefty politicians who are, you know, I think virtue signaling a little. But I mean, some of the stuff that's happening on Blue Sky and TikTok and the celebrations that are taking place. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised, Phil. We see this all the time. But there's a lot of people out there like George Conway. Have you seen some of his tweets? They're not being shy. They're not afraid. Ilhan Omar's out there talking about
how gleeful.
Yeah, they are gleeful.
Yeah, and, you know, so Stephen Miller posted on X today, and this is something that I've been aware of, and I think probably you have too, but he articulated this really well, speaking about this ideology that's been sort of growing over the last several years throughout the United States. And it's this ideology that hates things that we would traditionally consider to be good and things that we would want to aspire to, such as a traditional family, a loving husband and a father and beautiful kids and a successful story based on hard work and merit, which is the Charlie Kirk story, of course. And that that lifestyle, that belief, just they hate it, okay? And so they will go so far as to commit acts of violence. And look, we can see it in the rhetoric that comes from the far left. We hear them all the time talking about violence in their rhetoric. We see it from Joe Biden. We see it from Chuck Schumer. We see it from all the top leaders on the political left. But we also see it in the far left lunatic fringe of the Antifa types. And they are very violent. They're very militant. They will not tolerate anyone who believes differently or sees things differently. I don't know how we got here. Honestly, it was one of these things where the frog is boiled slowly, but at some point the frog is nevertheless boiled, and I am scratching my head. I hope we can figure out a way to move back to some type of normalcy. I hope that this growing ideology of hate from the far left, I hope that we can curtail that some way, but I really don't know what the answer is, but Stephen Miller was very articulate and I think very spot on when he made that post on X.
And it's a valid point, and I said something in the monologue this afternoon, because look, this is where, you know, you want to be careful, because there's one dude that's responsible for this, it appears. I don't know, maybe it could run deeper than that, but it is not just the fringe that have been expressing the hateful rhetoric. To your point, you literally have the guy that was president. He might not have been cognitively aware that he was president, but Joe Biden, Kamala, Tim Walz, AOC, Gavin Newsom, Hakeem Jeffries, Wesley Bell, Cory Bush, the list goes on and on. They call us Nazis, bigots, transphobes, gun nuts, religious nuts. I mean, at a certain point, threat to democracy over and over and over again. You know, last July, oh, we got to tamp down the rhetoric. They didn't tamp down any rhetoric. So, and where, as I said earlier, where are the people on the right that are disowning family members because they happen to have different political opinions, right?
It's these violent, well, vile and violent far leftists. Those are the ones who, that's their base. So they can't really completely tamp it down. They can give lip service sometimes to tamping it down, but they don't. They have to keep that part of their base riled up, or they would get no votes. And so it's one of these things where I don't have the answers, but this is almost, and I don't think this is hyperbole to say this is an existential crisis for American society. We are going to have to go in one direction or another, but going in their direction is just not tenable. It's not consistent with our heritage, our history, our identity, who we are as Americans. And we are at a inflection point. And this is like the crescendo, and we're going to have to figure out how to move forward and continue with a moral society, a rational society, a sane society, and a civilization that, you know, can sort of tolerate different beliefs but still move forward in a positive way. And the far left, the violent far left, is not going to stand for that.
No, I don't think they're going to change their behavior at all. I really don't. Let's hope they get this shooter in custody soon. Phil Holloway, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
You got it, brother. Anytime.
I have some audio that I want to share that I've not shared here yet this afternoon. TMZ took some heat because it appeared as if that there were people in the studio with Harvey Levin that were cheering this on yesterday. I have a little bit of a different thought on that. We'll get to that next and some other stuff. We also have John Ziegler after the top of the hour. Just after we let Phil Holloway go, he shared this with me, and I think this is circulating, and some of this stuff goes back several years, but this is from our former president, right? Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are a threat to the very soul of this country. Donald Trump is the greatest threat to our democracy. These are all separate tweets from different times. Donald Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. He's a threat to our freedom. He's a threat to our democracy. He's literally a threat to everything America stands for. Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. We cannot let him win. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, talking to folks about what's at stake in this election. Trump poses many threats to our country, the right to choose, civil rights, voting rights, America's standing in the world. But the greatest threat he poses is to our democracy. If we lose that, we lose everything. You know, the whole threat to democracy thing that was over and over and over that was said. So I'm going to play you some audio here, some of which is very revolting and disgusting reaction from, I would say, the fringe lefties. I hope this would not be the moderate lefties. But first, this happened on the set of TMZ and Harvey Levin's show yesterday. Now, I just want you to play. I want to play this and just let you hear it real quick, and then I'll give you the background.
Ned, go. Go to.
All right. So what's happening is you hear the people cheering in the background, and Harvey's trying to get a handle because he knows something's happening and something's breaking, and there are people that were cheering.
Have somebody look at the Fox. Trump just posted that Charlie Kirk is dead.
All right, so this is this ready to pull the trigger? We can get Trump cut in a second.
What did Trump say?
Yeah, who sent it?
So what I think,
honestly, okay, but here, honestly, I'm going to say this. I think that those were two different things that were happening. Now, they issued an apology, and honestly, I don't know, Harvey.
What do you think the other thing that was
happening? Well, listen to what they say. There's an explanation, and I believe this explanation. There's a lot of vile things that are going on out there, but I do think that, you know, the explanation is feasible.
We were live streaming all day during this tragedy when something happened in our office. As we were reporting the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there were some people in the back room away from our news desk here who were watching a car chase. And they were laughing, they were clapping, and you could hear it out here. And we want to make a couple of things clear. One is that I know these people, and they were not laughing, they were not reacting that way about Charlie Kirk's assassination. They were not. They would not work here if they did.
I believe him.
Yeah, I
really
gotcha.
Do. I think sometimes there are other reasons, and you could tell it was in the background. So I honestly, I'm going to have to take his word for it, and I do. And other people are going to make their own decision on that, but I do think it was a sincere apology, and the apology went, you know, on from there. But then there's, you know, stuff like this, which is just crazy right now.
I think we're missing the point here. Charlie Kirk, he wants to be pew-pew. That's why he fights so hard for J-laws to never change. This is his dream. This is poetic. I'm starting to think if he planned this because he loves pew pew so much. My thoughts go out to that pew pew having to look this mother face. Ah, oh, my deepest condolences.
They're gleeful out there.
The best part of this whole god thing is that he is not martyr material, so his death will mean nothing. It will activate no one. It will impact few. It's just great.
Yeah, that's gauging things very inaccurately. Now, there's a pattern that exists here, and libs of TikTok and End Wokeness have gone very aggressively against the people that are posting stuff like this. You post something on the X or Facebook, you say something like that on Twitter, they're looking up where these people work. And there is an unbelievable number, and very disproportionately focused on healthcare and education.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's people that are in healthcare, and they're gleeful, and they're not trying to, you know, hide it. Here's a nurse.
My coworker was all in a tizzy because she gonna tell me that Charlie Kirk got shot, and I said, good. So we get into this whole conversation about it, and she goes, well, you can't hate people for their political views. And I'm like, yes, I can. Like, that's specifically why I hate people sometimes. You can't hate me for my views because my views don't infringe upon your rights. You don't hate me for what I believe in because it doesn't interfere with your life.
Yeah.
Some of these views are dangerous. And I'm glad he got shot. Hopefully he dies. I don't care.
Yeah, well, he did. You got that wish. I mean, some of the views that Charlie Kirk espoused are so controversial. Like not allowing a man with a penis in a female locker room. That is outrageously controversial, isn't it? I can't believe that there would not be more agreement on that issue. They love to say pew pew. This was a little new to me, Sue, because I didn't realize that that was so common when it comes to guns. Here's another one.
He was shot because we don't have food in our fridge. He was shot because our co-workers of color are being incarcerated and sent back to their country for no reason.
Oh my God.
He was shot because we don't have health care. We are so mad up to the point that we're actually starting to take pew pews and take them to politicians. And honestly, I do not agree with gun violence at all. I feel like there's other ways that we can have a discussion without having to bring out the pew pew. But we have tried. We've done peaceful protesting. We've wrote into the government. But no, these red-sided people don't care. So what do you think we're going to do? The red-colored people are like, he was such a good person. Why did he get shot? If you've seen the video on Twitter, please listen to the last 10 seconds of what he said before he went. And if you... Honestly, yeah, he had it coming. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, what he was doing is he was talking about mentally ill transgender people, of which there are many, and perhaps the person who shot him is one of those. I mean, it's vile what we've heard out here.
Do you support his death?
I do.
You support his death?
Charlie Kirk.
You support Charlie Kirk being killed?
Yes, I do.
On the day he died, you're here at a vigil for Charlie Kirk, and you support his death?
Do you support a Nazi?
No, I don't support a Nazi. Charlie Kirk wasn't a Nazi. You support his shooter?
Yep, sure do. Sure do.
You support Charlie Kirk's shooter?
Sure do. He does all
a favor. Would you shoot somebody like Charlie Kirk?
I would have killed him myself.
You would have killed him yourself? Okay. Do you have a job here in Seattle?
Nope, I take that for a living.
Yeah, well, there's not a surprise. He doesn't have a job. Unbelievable. A lot of them are not shocked. I'm shocked because you would think that someone would sit back and say, maybe I shouldn't post this online. There are educators. There are nurses. There are other people in academia that have posted things. I'm just playing you the audio. They've been up on Facebook. But End Wokeness and Libs of TikTok, they are exposing these people. Many have already been fired. And I think many more to come.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.